This morning, the topic is the essence of prayer. We are trying to go deeper into the thoughts that God has placed upon the heart of God's servant, our daddy in the house, Pastor Thompson Ehima. 1 Timothy 2, verse 8. Let's go. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubtings. Luke 18, just verse 1. Let's just take verse 1 for now. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to and not to faint. Then let's read 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, and will heal their land. Matthew 26, verse 41. Enter not into temptation. Spirit is indeed willing. James 5, 16 to 18. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the head by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth a fruit. 18. They pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Then Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. All right, 15. Of whom the heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you riches of his glory to be strengthened by his Spirit in the inner man, that the Christ may be dwelling in your heart by faith, that ye being rooted. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Pop the Lama Tianto Shombre. E pran telios de pran te canatian tina nosia. Pai donesis de pa. Part and to sip in the part. Este part. Este part. Take 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 part in that critical agenda of heaven. Take part in that critical agenda of heaven. Take part in prayers. Take part in prayers. Take part as you pray. Take part as you pray. To take part as you pray. Take part in that which heaven is concerned with. Take part in that which heaven is doing. Take part in the burden of heaven. Take part in the burden of Jesus. Take part. Take part. Take part. Take part in the place of prayers. In the place of prayers. So we've come to bring you help. We've come to bring you help. Help of sight. Help of sight. Help of knowledge. Help of revelation. Help of burden. Help. 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 Help on all sides, even for you to pray better, even for you to pray that which heaven is praying, even for you to pray the mind of heaven. It's help that has come to you. It's help that has come to you. Help on all sides. Help on all sides, even that you might pray better, that you might pray better, that you might be strengthened to pray better. See the Spirit of God.
Father, we thank you for your love for us as a people. Thank you because it is that same love that has moved you to to bring us into this season and to bring this season unto us. Thank you because of your intentions. Thank you because of where you have placed us in your heart and how you are ensuring that we get to the finish, to the end of what you are doing with us. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your servants and your handmaiden that you have placed over us. Thank you for that is a sign that you are committed to our redemption. It's a sign of your commitment to our salvation. For you to have fashioned them in this manner and given them as a gift, not just to us in this assembly, but to the body of Christ. We are grateful, our Father. Thank you for leading them. Thank you for leading in the place of pasture. Thank you for leading them from one season to another because of a people. Thank you because it is by your dealings with them that we have found ourselves where we are right now. We are grateful, our Father. Thank you for what you have laid in store in these lessons. Thank you for they are not just ordinary presentations, but they are an initiation. They are an arrangement by which you want to launch us into that environment that you have always longed that we come into. We are grateful, our Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are grateful to you. We are grateful that we are not doing something else at this time, but that we are right in the middle of your will and counsel as an assembly. Oh, there is nothing better. There is nothing greater. There is nothing sweeter than being right in the middle of your will. We are grateful for it. We are grateful. We are grateful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that angel that you sent, both the angel of this commission and the angel that you have sent for this season. Thank you for causing your servant and your admin to align under them and to follow their impulse and their movements. We are grateful, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the baptisms that you have laid in store for us in this season. We are grateful. We are grateful. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, we come again this morning. We come again this morning with expectation in our heart. We come again this morning with desire. We come again this morning desiring that you will do something to us. We know that we have not yet hit that gusher. We have not yet, you know, come into the concretization of what you are saying. We know that we are still far off your heart, you know, for us for this season. Lord, we ask that this morning you will move us forward. You will cause a work to be done by the reason of your word. Lord, I ask my Father that you will show me mercy. I align under the authority that you have set in this house. I align under the authority that you have placed over us. I align under my parents, my daddy and my mommy. I align under them. I find grace to align my thoughts, my mind, my meditations. They are aligned. They will not stray outside authority in the name of Jesus. That this morning, we would touch that which you have placed in the heart of your servant. There will be a transfer of that burden from their heart unto us by the reason of these words in the name of Jesus. Come and what only you can do, Father. Lord, we ask for utterance. We ask for bread. We ask for help. We ask for spirit. Say, for the letter kill it, but the spirit give it life. We ask for the spirit to have free course this morning, that life might be ministered to us all in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your presence in our midst. Thank you for the presence of your angel. Thank you because heavens are open and they are ascending and descending upon us to bring blessing to us. We are grateful, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. We are grateful to God for how He's leading us as a people. We are not just doing church, as it were, but we are a people on a journey. And our journey is expressed by our meal. Hallelujah. Our feeding is a signification of our journey in the spirit. Amen. We are looking at, you know, the essence of prayer, just trying to look at why we should pray, basically, why we should not joke with this season that God has brought upon us. We would be looking at the need for prayers amidst men. Why is prayer so important for men, especially? We'll also be looking at the danger of being prayerless, you know, in this season. And then we'll also consider how to generate and sustain the burdens. Amen. Last week, we looked at a few things as God gave us help and mercy, how prayer is an important aspect of our walk with God, which we must always pay close attention to. You can know how much a man is growing by his attitude and response to prayer. You can't separate my commitment to prayer, you know, from my growth. So anytime we see ourselves that we are not responding to prayer as we ought to, then we should check, you know, on ourselves that something must be very wrong. It exceeds the conventional asking and receiving that we have concluded prayer to be, that prayer actually is a communion, you know, it's an heart-to-heart engagement with God. Prayer is, you know, linking man to God and the head to heaven, such that there is a good ground for God to intervene on earth in the affairs of men, and the ultimate agenda is salvation. Hallelujah. So prayer is to provide room for God to step in to bring about salvation amidst men. Amen. We need understanding for prayer to be effectual, so that we don't waste energy, we don't waste strength, we don't waste time. We must be appropriately equipped, you know, so that we can pray as we ought to. Then we also saw very clearly that God is limited by our prayer life. And, you know, that was so fantastically, you know, described or portrayed in Daniel. You know, when Daniel had to fast and pray for 21 days, all right, you know, and the angel came, you know, and said that, you know, from the day that, you know, he started, you know, say, fear not, Daniel. That's Daniel 10, verse 12. Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. So the moment he started to make mention of his prayers, God gave an instruction for that angel to go and deliver answer to Daniel. Then he now said, but something happened along the way. You know, he said, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. And scriptures also spoke about Daniel, I prayed for 21 days. You know, so while Daniel was praying, a warfare was happening in the heavens, you know, as it pertains to what Daniel was praying for. So we saw that if Daniel had not continued in prayer, there's no way that warfare would have been accomplished. You know, the angel of God would have been helpless. You know, not that the angel of God is not stronger than Satan, but there's just a way this thing works in the spirit. It's a law that for their battle to be accomplished, man must also take his rightful stand, both in prayer and in obedience. Hallelujah. So I'm just bothering the fact that God and indeed his angels are limited by our prayer life. And, you know, nothing can be done for humanity unless someone does what? Pray. Someone prays. If a man's labor aren't present, the order that has been set, you know, which includes man's prayers, is not complete. And the will of God would not be realized on earth. Someone asked Charles Adon Spurgeon, the foremost Baptist preacher, somebody asked him that, which is better, to pray or to study the Bible? He replied and said, which is better, to breathe in or to breathe out? So you see that you can't live your life by just breathing in. You must also breathe out. You know, so as the word of God is very important, prayer also is very important. You need prayer to break through into the word. And you need the word to pray. There are two legs that a believer must walk on. At times you feel you are no longer, you are no longer interested, you're not hungry, you are not desirous of the word, you pray. And when you pray, they bring word. And when they bring word to you, you also pray. Hallelujah. So we can't just stay. If we don't pray and we are only hearing word, what will happen is that it will be difficult to translate word, to translate it into energy. Hallelujah. You know, when you eat food naturally, hallelujah. When you eat food naturally, food is not the energy. The body still has to do some work on the food for the food to release the energy content. You know, every meal has energy content. If you look at all this, some of this package meal, you see at the back, calorie of energy, all those things. They are in the meal, but you can't see calorie in the food you are eating. What you are eating is, bread. What you are eating is, biscuit. Hallelujah. But when they enter the system, they must be broken down so that they can release the energy content that, it holds. So every word that comes to us has an energy content in it. As I say, the word of God is potent. That is, it has power, energy stored. And without the instrumentality of prayer, that energy stored in the word will not be released for transformation. People will be hearing and they will not change. Because the energy of the word that they are receiving, has not been processed, has not been extracted, has not been transmitted, into their hearts. Hallelujah. As we said last week, God has helped us in a little measure, even though we can do much, much better, around devotion to God's word. Devotion to teaching and preaching. At least as it stands now, nobody comes to church without knowing that at least that word will be spoken. It's guaranteed. The word of God will come. We don't come to church for any other thing than for the word. Hope you know that. The word of God is center stage of our service. That is that no matter how there's move of the spirit, there is, after everything, the word of God must still be taught. Hallelujah. And God also will have us to also understand that prayer is also that important. Prayer is also that essential. That if we don't start having a stronger passion for prayer, we will find out that, the word of God that we are hearing will not profit us so much. So this implies that the hearing of the word of God is crucial, to life. So is prayer. The parable of the sower just paints this beautifully. That the word of God can be received and it will not do its work. It is a possibility. There are forces that must still come together to ensure that the word that is spoken is performed in our lives. Prayer is the only channel God left for man to be able to call for help while in sojourn in a dark, hostile, and corrupt world. God knows about this world. Hallelujah. God knows about this earth, more than you do. And God knows about the evil in this earth more than you do. God knows, at times we are like, why did God even create him? Why did God send him to this life? Why did God send him to this world? Knowing that evil awaits. Satan has brought hell from beneath and he has brought it upon the face of the earth. That earth at times now looks like hell. And God, God is aware of that. That in spite of all of that, he still chose to send you to that same earth. In spite of knowing the risk, hallelujah, knowing the destruction that is upon the face of the earth, he still chose to send you to the earth. But he did that and he gave us something with it. He gave us something with it. He didn't just send us to the earth so that we can be consumed by darkness and destruction. He sent us to the earth and left a door open and left a portal open and left a channel open, so that we can call upon him. We can beacon on him. Because the answer to the destruction that is ravaging mankind is that actually God has to keep sending men down to the earth. You wonder at times, I've asked that, why? No matter how bad the earth is seeming, God keeps sending spirits. He keeps sending spirits. At times you look at homes that the husband and wife fight every day. They're the ones that have most children.
They may not even come together for 3 months. The day they just say, they should play with each other, bam, child comes. And you're like, but why is God doing that? Me, I thought, that's how I think. Why is God doing that? It's because he wants to redeem. And, you know, at times, it is the children that will later save their parents. You know, but he also knows that it's also a risk. It's also a risk that putting that in that family, you know, that child can be, that child's destiny can be truncated. And that is why, you know, he also provides, you know, provision, he makes provision available, you know, for the child to receive help. At some point, at the beginning, it may look as if the child's life will be destroyed, but somehow, you know, God just does it. And, you know, and some of us are testimonies of that. Some of us, you know, we come from homes that are not so arranged. Hallelujah. You know, and then, you know, but God has said, I didn't do it to destroy you. And that is why God, you know, makes, you know, provisions so that we can call for him, so that we can receive help, you know, when we're about to be swallowed up, when, you know, from being swallowed up. Hallelujah. So prayer, you know, is one of those ways that, you know, our security, our safety, and our progression, you know, in this dark world is ensured. Hallelujah. The world was designed by the wicked one for everything he needs to work against God's elect. Without the privilege of prayer, we would have been left at Satan's mercy. Satan would have done us anyhow. You know, prayer, what brought many of us to where we are right now is prayer. Prayer that some people made for us, some of them, they made it for us 100 years ago. Hallelujah. Some of us, our grandparents, you know, prayed and prayed us to what we are hearing right now. But it's time for you to also take up the baton. Pray for yourselves and pray for the generation that will come after you. Because Satan, you know, the world is getting more wicked. You know, if you know what's ravaging the earth right now, you will know that, you know, normally children are given birth to, and after a while, their spirits die. Okay, just, you know, when they start entering the age of accountability, their spirit die. All right? But, you know, and that's the first death. All right? But you see, what is staring at us right now on the head is how to kill those children the second time. It's how to get them to die, you know, to die eternally. You know, just as they are dying, you know, there's the first death and there's the second death, which ends in the lake of fire. So Satan is not only going about trying to kill them at that first instant. You know, when even after the children dies first, he still loves God. He still goes to church. Hallelujah. He still does Sunday. He still goes to Sunday school. He still, you know what I'm saying? No. He still has desire until he advances in that first death, where he starts losing interest in the things of God. But eventually, God can still connect him back. He's not lost. But Satan wants to kill, you know, people, especially children, you know, so fast that at very tender age, God has given up on them. You didn't get what I just said now. That at the tender age, they are done. They are done for. They are gone. That is why what Satan has in his mind. That is why, you know, the old gay agenda is even entering cartoons. Imagine growing up, you know, coming up with that thought in your mind of hatred for God. Yes, now, because if you're a boy and say you're a girl, you have an hatred for God somewhere. It's an hatred for God that created that he didn't treat you well. It's a seed that has been planted of hatred. That is why, you know, the sexual spirit is not ordinary. It's to deliberately plant an hatred for God in the heart of people. It's to turn men against God. You know, and that is what Satan is going after. And that is why, much more than ever before, prayer is not something we should treat lightly. Prayer is a major, major avenue that God has said that, you know, he would invade, you know, and save many. Hallelujah. John 12:31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And shall the prince of this world be cast out. John 14:30. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and had nothing in me. Then John 16:11 of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. What we're just trying to establish is that this world is not under God's control. Hallelujah. This world is not under God's control. God is not in control of you. God is not in control of the earth. The controller of the earth is Satan. He is the prince. You know, when he came to Jesus, you know, and told Jesus that he owns everything on the earth. You know, Jesus is not rebuking for telling lies. And even though somewhere it's a lie, because he doesn't really own anything. But in terms of authority, in terms of right, of way, hallelujah, he has it because man sold it to him. Because man himself was not the owner of the earth. Man was put in charge of the earth. So it is established that Satan is in control of everything and he does not like you. He is seeking out to destroy you. Forget things that look beautiful on the earth. The mind behind it is to destroy you. When you go to developed city and you see the building, you see the roads, you see, you know, the way they set the whole thing up, like, hi, things are here. The mind behind that thing is to destroy you. The intelligence that brought about, you know, civilization is to destroy man. Is to make man to forget his God. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. All right, so we see again that the God of this world, you know, blinds the mind. You know, so you see, when a man is understanding the gospel, it's an activity of the God of this world to blind man's mind. That is why by much prayer, hallelujah, by much prayer and teaching of the word, you know, the heart is opened and the mind is unveiled. He said, lest the glorious light of the gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The Lord Jesus had to deploy the powerful weapon of prayer at all times in his life and ministry. You see, Jesus, in essence, he was the word that was made flesh. He was the best man ever to live on earth. Because that I was teaching it in the convention that, you know, they called him the prince of the Jews. You know, the king crucified and put it on him, say the king of the Jews. You know, that he's not king in terms of that he came from the, you know, royal house of David, all right, but that he was the best of the Jews. He was the best of the Jews. He was the best. Hallelujah. You know, but you see, he could not have made it without prayer. He could not have made it. He could not have made it. You know, you see how Satan has been after him from birth. You know, Satan has been after just from the moment he was born to kill him. And Satan did not leave him until he died on the cross. Satan did not leave him. Satan was always, he knew. You know, one thing that Jesus Christ knew, he knew his enemy. You know, one of the reasons why we don't pray, because we don't know our enemy. We don't have the right valuation for how formidable our enemy is. We underrate Satan. Hallelujah. Jesus knew Satan. Jesus knew one thing. As Jesus was growing in stature, one thing that they were putting in Jesus is an understanding of what Satan is capable of. And that is why he never took prayers lightly. Because he knew what Satan is capable of. We are the ones that put Satan in the gutter and mash him. Jesus never put Satan in the gutter to mash him. If anybody could have known that, it was him. Even if he have put him in the gutter and do mash on top of his head, it was Jesus. But he never did that. He knew. And that is the first place of victory in warfare. When you are able to properly, accurately quantify the strength of your enemy. That's what our parents are teaching us. I see that they are praying Satan. They're not praying Satan. They're only making us see what we are up against so that we can take the proper posture. Hallelujah. So that we don't get attacked by surprise. You know, the most deadliest of attack is ambush. Hallelujah. Ambush is the deadliest. You are not expecting it. You are not prepared for it. And it hits you all of a sudden. Nowhere to run to. And that is what happens when you underestimate your enemy. It will ambush you in the least expected way. Jesus never did that. And that was why he was a man of prayer. He wasn't a man of prayer because he just liked to pray. Yeah, come, that guy just liked praying. Mm-mm. There was something that was informing, hallelujah, his commitment to a life of prayer. Because he knew that Satan had the ability to hang him. He knew that this guy, if God does not help me, this guy will finish me. He knew that if God does not help me, if God does not come for me and show up, even in hell, he was still praying. The Lord just had to deploy this powerful weapon at all times in his life and ministry. When all hell was let loose against him and his back was against the wall, and he had no one else to turn to other than to offer heartfelt, passionate, and what? Relentless prayers to who? To his Father. He said, Hebrews 5 verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and he was heard in that what? He feared. This fear was not, that he was afraid of Satan, but he was afraid of missing out, you know, on glory. He was very conscious of what God had prepared for him. And you know that Satan, you know, wants to use the forces of death to hold him bound. So he does not press into that glory that God has, you know, that his father has prepared for him. So his fear was that he was afraid of Satan, but that he didn't want to miss out. He didn't want to be cut off from that which heaven has arranged. You know, we also saw that prayer again in Jonah, Matthew 12:40. Please about what happened in Jonah 2, verse 1 to 7. So say, for as Jonah's, let's read together, in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be there 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the head. But what was Jonah doing in the belly of the shark? He was praying. So we're going to look at the need for prayer amidst men. Why must men pray? Why is prayer so important for any man? Any man. Any man. Is it Paul the Apostle in 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 8 made his desire known that men will pray. You know, that men should pray everywhere. Jesus also taught that men ought always to pray, you know, and not to faint. These statements connote the utter dependence of man and the survival of man on prayer. You know, when they mention prayer, they mention man. You cannot separate man from prayer. Any man that, you know, will come into the fullness of God's purpose, God's intention, God's agenda for his life, you can't separate him from prayer. Prayer and man are synonymous. Hallelujah. He said, for men ought always. That is, if I'm not praying, I'm not standing well as a man. Something is missing. Something is missing, you know, in my arrangement as a man. Hallelujah. And it's going to be a matter of time. It will show that something indeed was missing. So he said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. I want me to say the wonderful thing last Sunday that when you don't pray, you faint. When you don't pray, you leak life. When you don't pray, you diminish. Hallelujah. When you don't pray, you become weak. When you don't pray, you become an easy prey for Satan. I love that, you know, that thing that came out that is a pray that you not be a prey. When you don't pray, you become an easy prey. You are an easy meat for Satan. Then just carry you like fowl, boom, and just double you and put you inside water. And you know what I'm saying? So when you don't pray, that's what you become. You become a chicken. Hallelujah. You are a prey in his hand. You are a prey in his hand. You are a prey. You will not be a prey in his hand in Jesus' name. So prayer is too important for the survival of man. Hallelujah. Say, prayer is important for my survival. Say, I will not survive in this wicked, hostile world without prayer. 1 Timothy 2:8 says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and what? And doubting. Prayer is a tool by which God's will is downloaded, all right, from God's heart into the heart of men. Matthew 6, 9 to 10. You see, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, as it is what? As it is in heaven. So this was the way Jesus Christ taught disciples to pray. And one, you know, key element of the prayer is that, you know, is a means to bring, you know, there's something in heaven. There is something in heaven. There is, and, you know, heaven is a place of the will, you know, and that will is not just in heaven. It's in the heart of God. How we should live. How we should live on earth. How we should walk on earth. How we should be arranged on earth is in the heart of the Father. And that thing must be downloaded. Must be brought down from the heart of the Father down to the earth. Man cannot assess the content of God's will automatically. You see, everything that God does is so that his will can find inroad into man's heart and also be expressed by man. You know, but Satan designed the world. Satan designed the earth such a way that operation, that process, that intention of heaven is not fulfilled. He made the earth inconducive for the will of God. He can arrange a nation to make sure that, you know, the will of God does not prosper. Hallelujah. And that is why when we pray for the nation, we are doing ourselves a whole world of good. Because there's a way Nigeria will be arranged right now, that it will be difficult for the will of God to thrive. It will be difficult for the will of God to thrive. There's a way, you know, he arranged the church. You know, Satan is the one that tamper with the church. Hoping that Satan fingerprint, you know, when somebody steals and they take the material and use the scanners. Go that scanner on the body of the church, right? The body of Christ now. You will see Satan's handprint everywhere. Everywhere. Raise pastors. Satan raised some pastors. And Satan now hijacked some pastors that God raised. He rearranged the church so that the will of God will not find inroad. The church is doing his own thing. God is doing his own thing. To bring about that synchrony, a lot of prayer must be involved. To synchronize man with God's will is not easy. It's not easy. You know, it's a man can assess the content of God's will automatically for various reasons. But chiefly, because of the adversary and their works. There are enemies of God that have sworn that his will, that's the will of God, which is the secret of God's reign. Because how God reigns amidst the people is that is by his will. Anywhere God's will is finding expression, God is reigning. You didn't hear that? Anywhere God's will is finding expression, what is happening? God is reigning. God is not interested in the seat of our presidency. Hope you know that. Oh, you don't know that? God is not interested in what power? He's Satan that uses all those. God, what God is interested in, really, 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 really. Why God will have interest in who becomes our president is because of his will and the program of his will to run effectively without, you know, distortion through the heart of men. Because that is how he reigns. He reigns by reigning over nature. He reigns by reigning over a range of Satan in men's soul. He reigns when men are living his life. When men are able to express his life, you know, the way his life ought to be expressed. So you find out that the secret of his reign is his will. And that will, there are enemies of God that have sworn that that will never find its way into men's heart. They have sworn enemies. They are taking oath with Satan. Hallelujah. Satan has sworn and has made all his angels also swear. When I say swear, it's not the way we do it here. Hallelujah. That they will stop at nothing. Hallelujah. They will stop at nothing to stop the reign of God's life in men. Luke 9:19-27. He said, but those my enemies, just talking after he has conquered. He said, those my enemies who would not that I should reign over them. You know, bring them either and do what? And slay them before me. So we see that there are enemies. We have these enemies primarily are the Lord Jesus' enemies. But because we are interested in the will of God, they also become our enemies. Whenever you show interest in God's will, what you are saying is that today I'm becoming an enemy of Satan. And he will come at you with everything. Yeah, like you said, that when somebody starts coming around this, you know, fountain, you know, at times Satan can attack. He can touch something just to, and that is why we should pray. Coming around this kind of fountain, this kind of word, exposes you, makes you a bit more visible to Satan. Hallelujah. Satan has been watching you, actually. You know what I'm saying? Satan is not like, he has been, from the day he gave birth to you, he has been observing some things, but he's not sure. But the day you land in Love City Church, I've been saying this thing, that this guy, I've been watching him, I know this guy, he has been behaving one kind, you know, these days. You did not say it. Okay. Me and you today, we have entered one trouser. Because he knows that you have come to a place where you will have access to the will. All right? And you also be able to transact with the will. So that his work in your soul can end. That is the work of Satan in your soul can end. And then by you also, his work in many also will be tampered with. That is why if you're that person sleeping by prayer, you can't sleep by prayer. Because you are at war. Say, I'm at war. Is that just the nature of it? Because you are interested in the will, you become an enemy of Satan. And he will do everything to stop you. But we have help. We are not helpless. Hallelujah. We are not helpless. It's just that we must take advantage of all the help that God has given to us, you know, to keep us in this kind of situation. Luke 18:1-3. He said, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, saying, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then his parable was about a woman. He said, there was a widow in the city, and when she came unto him, saying, what? Avenge me of my adversary. So we see here that because of men's faith in the adversary. The work of the adversary, hallelujah, is to stop you. When you hear the word adversary, the word adversary is opposition. Satan is the adversary. He said, your adversary, the who? The devil. Your adversary, the who? The devil. He said, mine adversary. You know, it's not everybody that Satan has become my adversary to. Hallelujah. The same thing he now said in 1 Peter. He said, be sober, vigilant, because who? Your! It's not everybody that Satan has become their adversary. He doesn't like man generally. But when it takes the posture of the adversary against you, it's not for two things. It's to stop you. It's to stop you from progressing to life. It's to stop you from advancing into glory. It's to stop, because this church, we are at the border. At the border of transferring, of moving into the realm of everlasting life. It came as an adversary to withstand. Just the way he stood to withstand Joshua, the son of Josedek. He says, standing at his right hand to resist him. That's an adversary walking. To resist him from being glorified. So that woman had to beg God, had to intercede. Hallelujah. Because somebody had to also speak on Joshua's behalf here. For that adversary to be taken away and his garments be changed. Ephesians chapter 6, 11, 12, 18, and 19. Let's read 11, then let's read 18 and 19. Because of our time. He said, put on the whole armor of God, that he may be able to stand against. So you see, you two have to stand against. The adversary is standing against you, but the posture is that you two should stand against. When we're in all those kind of settings where they will say, stop them before they stop you. This is where you do that. It is in the season of entering the glory. You have to stop them before they stop you. So God also expects us to stand against him. And he has to stand against him by putting all the whole armor of God. He's talking about the arrangement of our adversary against us. They now said, praying always. So how I put on the whole armor of God to stand against the adversary by praying. As I'm praying, you know, because you are praying with something. What has been taught, then you are praying. You are praying with light. As I'm praying with light, you are putting on the whole armor. Because it's the armor of God is the armor of light. Hope you know that. All those breastplate, they are all lights. Hope you know that. They are lights. Because it is with light you fend off darkness. Because what is against you is darkness. Is darkness. And the weapon against darkness is light. And now you put on the armor of light is by praying. After you have been fed, you've been given, you've been supplied with word, you should engage them with prayer. When word comes and we pray, we are putting it on. We are taking it up as a wearing against he that stands against us. Hallelujah. He said prayer helps us also to align with the will of God. Hallelujah. Because another reason why, you know, the will of God, you know, is not easily embraced, all right, is that our hearts are many times not in the same frequency as the will. The will is coming to us, but we are not in a place to receive it. Our heart is not arranged. Our heart is not suitable. The ground of our heart, you know, their eyes have they closed, and their hearts have waxed gross. Hallelujah. So how our hearts are aligned is in place of prayer. We pray and pray until our heart becomes palatable for the will of God to thrive. Because Satan did things in the heart. He did things in the heart against the will. It's not only that we get tired and learn the matters of the will. It's because there's work in the heart. It's not only that we receive word and we're unable to carry it out as transaction. Because there are things that the enemy has done. He said the enemy has done this. Hallelujah. So one of the ways cause that will to find expression is that we pray so that our hearts are aligned with the will. Say our hearts have been arranged against the will of God. And the reason is so that man might not be saved from his death and darkness. Because Satan knows that the Savior will come. That God will not leave his people to perish forever. A time will come where he will come to save them. But even when he comes to save them, they should not accept him. He said light came. And light came to save. But men love darkness rather than light. It's a work in the heart. It's a work that Satan desires. When light comes to you, you will choose darkness rather than light. So by praying, by engaging prayers, what we do is that we bring our heart in a place of alignment with the will of God. But by prayer, help is obtained of God to bring our heart to the place of agreement and obedience to the will of God. Let's see Colossians 4:12. It said, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluted you, always laboring fervently in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete where in all. So you see that you cannot come into the will of God automatically. And will of God here is not who you should marry. That is not the context. Hallelujah. It's not where you should go, what clothes you wear. Those are important things. But the will is the template that God has for you. How you should live. Hallelujah. There is a way you should live. How you should live is a program. Hallelujah. It is the program that the will of God contains. So it means that I won't be living as God will have me live if I don't have access to the will. So it means that if I don't have access to the will, I'm living under another life. I'm living by another will. I'm living by another program. So for me to live by the program of God's will, a lot of warfare is involved. It's not automatic. You can't stray into God's will. You can't. You must war for it. He said, labor earnestly that the church may stand perfect. Hallelujah. You know, and complete in all the will of God. Prayer helps to change seasons and times over a people. This is very, very important. Reverend Egan also spoke about this. He called it the wave. That when a wave of God's move, a wave of God's dealing, when it comes like that, that it rises and it ends at the shore. That many people that follow the wave like that, when the wave wanes, they wane with the wave. But there are many times when a wave is waning, when you look far, another one is rising. That you must now be able to move from this one and enter the one that is rising. You know, even in this water, there are waves. It's not one. There are seasons. If you are sensitive, you know that there are seasons. This thing comes, it heightens. Everybody is talking about it, you know, and that's why the thing comes down. But as it's coming down, another one is rising. How we move like that from one wave to another is by prayer. It's each time you notice that thing is waning, he starts to pray. He's in the room. He starts praying in the spirit. He said, he prays. And that's why he was part of almost four dispensations of the world. So how to ensure that you are not stuck? You know, you can move together, but you are stuck. It's possible. You can move together and then you can't journey again. At times you have knowledge overload. Yes, and you're just stuck. You're just full. Hallelujah. You know, how we ensure that we are journeying and moving from one thing to the other as God is leading his people is by staying in prayer. Is by staying in prayer. Because there's something about man. Something about man. Man, there's a way man is. Pastor Lincoln has said that man loves to build monuments and things. Man, by his fallen state, doesn't like journeying. He likes tabernacling. And God doesn't like that thing. Even when you look at the way the patriarchs work, God never allowed them to build a house and stay in one place. He kept moving them from one point to the other. He's telling you something about how God designs life for his people. So there's something about us that wants to stay. When everybody is moving, you don't know, let's stay. No, God expects us to move. And many a times, you are not able to break from that thing except by a lot of praying. You pray and pray and pray and pray until your heart is aligned with what God is doing presently. Somebody said the enemy of what God is doing now is what God has done before. It's the state of man's soul. And prayer is one help that God has given to us so that we can journey from one season to another. Say amen. To move people from one location of meal or dimension of dealing to another usually involves a lot of supplication and intercession made by the people. And that tells you that if God is calling for a season of prayer, if God is calling for a people to pray, it means that something is coming. You didn't get that. It means that a wave is rising. That God, in his mercy, does not want a church to miss out from. Because it's possible that all our churches can move and we are behind. You know, it's possible. Churches are not the same. Hallelujah. It's not only the seven churches that were churches on earth in Revelation. You know, the Hebrew church was not there. It was not there because these ones have journeyed further. They say we will not be left behind. You know, people are more concerned, you know, about being left behind when rapture happens. But people are not concerned about being left behind when God is moving. But there was a particular series, Left Behind, part 1, part 2, part 3, part 4. I never seen it. The level of light, and we appreciate God for it. But people should rather be more, because if you have left behind when God is moving, when God comes, you'll be left behind. Hallelujah. Church is more concerned about, stay rapturable, stay rapturable, stay rapturable. Stay movable. Stay movable. Don't become a stone that they can't move. Hallelujah. It's not just staying rapturable, you must stay movable. And it's the heart. It's the heart. So prayer is an animal that God does for us so that we can move. Our heart can easily journey with God. Even when daddy begins to say something in a certain way, you know, just have fight. What is daddy saying again? Maybe I've heard it like this before. Why are they talking like this again? Don't worry. If you stay in prayer, you will connect. So for God to be talking to us about prayer means that something is coming. There is a outpouring that God is bringing to us. So a wave is rising that we cannot miss out from. A season is coming over us and over the whole head that we must trust God to key into by a lot of prayer. Say amen. The nature of the soul is such that it gets stuck, you know, in a season of dispensation. But by much prayers, migration can be made possible. Ephesians 1, 15 to 18. Wherefore, let's read it together.
The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his call and what the riches. Let's also read that Daniel 9. In the year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of Medes, which was made king in the year of his first reign, I, the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that I would accomplish 70 years, desolation of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God. Was Daniel the only Jew in Babylon? They were already comfortable. You know, God told them, said, go and build house. You know, marry, all of that. Because God was dealing with them. That was a season of dealing, 70 years. So when that 70 years was accomplished, they were supposed to return back to their land. But they had forgotten. They were already comfortable where they were. The thought of moving and migrating was no guy in them. But we saw a man, Daniel, who knew that they should move. And why was Daniel like this? Because Daniel was a man of prayer. Before now, he always prayed twice a day, morning and evening, facing Jerusalem. You will lose touch with what God is doing if you don't engage prayers. You can be together and you are not together. Because he stayed in prayer. And that was why he knew that was time. And he heightened his prayer, you know, so that movement can be. Because it's possible that even when it is time to move, you will still not move. Hallelujah. Because there are adversaries. Let's just go on. Say, prayer is also a means to keep man's sensitivity in the realm of the spirit alive. A man given to much prayers is likely to be more awake to the impulse of the spirit than he who is not. What is he simply saying, you know, is that when we pray, hallelujah, when we pray, our spirit is more alive. We can easily discern the Lord. It will be easy for you to know what the spirit of the Lord is demanding of you per time. You know, many of us, we say sometimes, I'm not hearing instruction. I can't hear any instruction. Well, maybe Mamelin comes and, hallelujah. And Mamelin is talking about how God told her this, told her that. And like, for the past 3 weeks, you've never heard Jack. Yeah, you've not heard one thought. You've not heard anything. And it's good sincerity. But one of the reasons that could be responsible for that is that you have not prayed enough. Even when you see mommy sitting down, she's praying. Have you noticed before? When you see her seated, you know, you just say, she's praying, she's praying. You can't pray that one. You will not be sensitive. What caused dullness is that we have not exercised ourselves in praying in the spirit enough. That is one culture that mommy only has. That's one culture that our parents in the house have. When you meet a type of something, you see, he's always praying. He's praying. When you do that, you'll be more alert. When God wants to instruct you, you will hear it easily. You won't need a voice to speak to you. Because the primary way God wants to speak to you is from your spirit. It's the primary way. But that your spirit is very weak. It can easily be ignored. Because it's not vocal. So your audible ears. It's like a touch, like a move, like a thought. It just comes quietly. In the midst of your noise, you can't hear anything. Here, you are jumping bus and you are entering and you are trying to connect the next, you know what I'm saying? Task in the office, you know, jobs at home. You may not hear Jack. But when you pray, there's a way your heart is just tuned to easily hear God when he speaks to you. So prayer is so important. Hallelujah. And we know how important those instructions are. They are the key to our change. He said, he that speaketh on no tongue, edified, that's 1 Corinthians 14:4, edified himself, he that prophesied, edified the church. So edifying here, it means to be built up. You know, we see that in Jude 1:20, say, but ye beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, pray in the Holy Ghost. So be built up is not in the sense of doctrine. It's in the sense of charging. It's in the sense of being alert. When you are charged up, Emeka will say that your consciousness for the things of the spirit becomes heightened. You can easily enter the spirit. You are not too dull and too carnal in your own world. You know, they can interrupt you easily. Those are things in the spirit that we must trust God for, you know, even in this season of prayer. Let's talk about dangers of prayerlessness quickly. Then we also talk about generating burden and sustaining it. Not being given to prevailing, fervent, and ceaseless prayers in such a season as this will prove very costly. In the time of the end of all things, which is the season of everlasting life unto eternal, which acts called the time of restitution of all things, slothfulness in prayer will make engaging the season difficult, as prayer is a means of obtaining grace from God. Because what we need now is grace. Say grace. He said, without receiving sufficient grace in the place of prayer, hunger, desire, and faith
for everlasting and eternal things would dwindle. You just see that it will be easier for people to give up now than before. Hallelujah. You know, because the forces we are up against are to wear us out. And you can see that in Daniel, where he spoke about that on wearing out the saints. And it's in this season that we talk about wearing out, making sure that they are not able to latch on to that which God is providing. So we need prayer to stay hungry. We desire to build up faith in our heart for what God is saying. You know, God can be talking and you're not believing it. You're not seeing yourself in what God is saying. They are saying perfection like me. You are hearing, but you have not yet seen yourself in what God is saying. Prayer is what will move you into that posture. When that this thing that the pastor is talking about, I can become it. You know, and all of that. So 1 Peter 4:7, but then the thing is at hand. Be therefore sober, watch unto prayer. To broaden what we just said, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, is a pray without ceasing. It is in season of everlasting life that the church is being instructed to pray what? Without ceasing. Let's just go ahead. Without ceaseless and passionate prayers, these evil forces will overcome us and cause us to fall into the temptation of giving up, or what again? Or throwing in the towel in the days of adversity. So where you are, so I said that, you know, the design is to make sure that you give up. Is to make you give up. All right? That's why we need a lot of help, you know, and mercy from God, so that, you know, we can get to the end of what the Lord is saying. We saw in 2 Corinthians 12:7-9 about the measure of Satan that was sent to Paul to buffet him so that he would not be exalted above measure. You know, he said, besought the Lord 3 times that he might depart from him. But, you know, God said, you know, he prayed thrice, just like Jesus Christ also went, you know, 3 times, you know, to besought, you know, God to take away the cup. But instead, God gave him grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some things that we are combating with, God will not necessarily take them away. That's the truth. Some issues, some challenges we are facing in life, God will not necessarily take them out of the way. But at times, what God does is that God will give you grace, because there is something God wants to use that thing to do in you. Proverbs 24:10, he said, if thou faint in the day of adversity, we are in the day of adversity. Say, but if you faint, it means your strength is what? Is small. So whenever that person is gathering strength in prayer, you were slothful. So it means that, you know, the adversity will take such a person away. It's not a magic. It will take it, because the person will just naturally, you know, not be able to continue. Prayerlessness will make us in this season to fall prey of pleasure, all right, anxiety, and worry. Hallelujah. These are things that are on the head right now. Hallelujah. If you are not prayerful, you will fall prey of pleasure. You won't be sober. You will be anxious. There are many things that are said to make you anxious. You know how your heart, just when you get to the market and find out what you bought last time, 500 naira, become 2,000 naira. No. It doesn't move you, Abby. And your salary is not changing. You can become anxious. No, you're serious. You can become anxious. And Satan is not, Satan's business is not with the inflation. It's your heart is going after. But if you're a prayerful person, you will know that this thing, it doesn't matter. There will be faith in your heart. Hallelujah. So know that the Lord will supply your needs according, my God shall supply your needs according to his riches in glory. But that is not just confession. It's a reality that the heart comes into by prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The answer to anxiety is prayer. He said, be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and supplication, and with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to the Lord. And what again? And the peace of God, which part of all understanding, shall be with your heart and with your mind. So we will not be able to survive the and things will get worse and worse on earth. Hope you know that. This will not improve the way you think it will improve. We must be strengthened against it. Our heart must be garrisoned against it. We must not be moved by it, so that indeed we will not be distracted from what God is doing. Because as price of meat is increasing, revelation is also increasing. As price of bread is increasing, there's no other bread again by street. There used to be 15 hour bread. Now it's from 150 upward. Even the 150, if you see the 150 bread, you'll be angry. Hallelujah. But as the price is increasing, light is increasing. But if your heart has not been helped, you'll be decided with bread. Some people will even leave Nigeria because of bread and leave light. Because you're anxious. When somebody carry bag and leave, it's anxiety that made the person to leave. Tomorrow is not sure. But that is not the tone you hear in the mouth of people that are prayerful. They are meant that God prayer will build faith in your heart. You will know that God is for you, even if every other thing is turning against you. Prayerlessness could be judged as sin. When God expects us to stand and occupy by supplying a piece of prayer and we fall short, God judges such act as sin. For instance, you know, and that is what God does many times. God holds the first responsible for the rest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that is why when God asks the church, because there's an instruction in the scripture for the church to pray for the nation. Because the nation cannot pray for itself. The nation does not even know our leaders, they don't even know anything. Their own is out to become big and we are better and become senator. You know what I'm saying? They don't even know their spirits attacking them. They don't even know about the name of the spirit. They don't even know the operations behind kingdoms. But the church knows. Hallelujah. And that is why God will hold the church responsible if anything happens to them. If you have read Art of Prayer very well, you will see it in Art of Prayer, that an experience that Hagin had. You know, three. I'm also saying this because one of the prayers we'll be praying, you know, this season, we'll be praying a lot for Nigeria. And we'll be praying a lot for the forthcoming election. Because if we don't, God will hold us accountable. In that vision, he saw three frogs come out of Atlantic Ocean. So he said, I've seen this vision before. He said, yeah, you saw it before. You know, and I told you what it meant, you know, but the church did not pray about it. He said, and you see, all the things that happened, you know, I'm mentioning them, the rioting, the chaos, the economic meltdown that took place. He said, you people are blaming the president. He said, but I don't blame him. He said, I will not hold him responsible. He said, I will hold the church responsible. The Lord Jesus told Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin in that of prayer. He said, I brought the vision again so that the church can pray. Because if the church does not pray, it will happen. And I will not hold your leaders responsible. Say rather, I will hold. And when God is saying that I will hold the church responsible, it's not that I will carry all of us and put us in a fire. It's that he will deny us of entrance. Because when God is telling you to pray, he also puts something, attach something to it. You don't know. The guy that God works, obey me. He's obedient. What you are doing is obedience. That's why you don't pray when Nigeria because you feel like. You don't pray when Nigeria because you're happy. You pray because God has laid the burden upon you. He has laid the responsibility upon you. Because for every obedience, there's a reward. And our reward here is progression. Because we also want to move forward. Have we got everything that we need to get from God? If you're on the throne, we still have where to be. Our God is far. On our G. Hallelujah. So we too, we need mercy from God. And how we attract mercy is by taking up these kind of things in prayer. Obeying God when he calls for it. Because if you don't, you will forsake your own mercy that God has prepared for you. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Shadow apapale bune fa frendeli a fiondage dondili me on tau dine non si le gambai. Rendevai, rendevai, rendevai. Rende babababai tandelai tandelai. Tain nandala tai. It's the operation I want to bring upon the nations. There is an operation I want to bring upon the nations of the earth. There is an operation even for this particular time, even to be brought upon the nations of the earth. There is a particular operation which ought to be brought in at this time. Which ought to be brought in at this time. It's an intervention. It's an intervention. It's an intervention which I want to bring upon the nations of the earth. Even in this particular times. Even upon your nation also. Even upon your nation also. Even upon your nation also. There is that intervention. There is that operation. There is that operation. But I would even have you pray. I would even have you pray. I would even have you pray that my oppression might prosper, that my oppression might go free course, that my oppression might have a free course amongst the nations, amongst the nation, among the nation. Even for this intervention ought to come at this particular time, at this particular time, at this particular time, even at this particular time, that another oppression might not find expression upon the surface of the head. Another oppression might not find expression person upon the surface of the head, there is another operation. There is another operation brewing. But there is intervention. There is intervention in my heart. There is intervention in my heart. If only you will pray it. Even only you will pray it. Even only you will pray it. Even only you will pray it into the scene, into the sphere, into the sphere of things, into the sphere of nations. There is an intervention at hand. If only you will pray it, you will pray it, you will pray it. See the Spirit of God.
Okay, so prayer is primarily that's how to generate and sustain bodies of prayer. Just to add up to what you have been saying. So prayer is primarily a heart transaction, an inward groaning, which are eventually uttered by the lips. God's attention is not first of all drawn to the sound we make with our lips in prayers, but rather it is a being that takes the conversation, meditations, and desires of the heart very, very seriously. You know, God is not a robot. God is not just, he's not a machine that hears voices. Hallelujah. He is a being. He can touch you. Hallelujah. He knows when something is coming from your heart. You know, when you and your wife have issues, not fight like fight. And you say, I'm sorry. Your wife knows whether the sorry is true or not. Hallelujah. Because you can say the sorry, and the sorry is not from your heart. And you know, your wife will know. If you're the officer that married, you know, your wife knows the sorry. This man, sorry, the man says, it's not from his heart. It's not, it doesn't mean it. But you can say sorry, and the wife will know this person means what he's saying. If a woman being can know that, how much more God? When you are praying for the nation, God is watching your heart. When you are praying, you know, he's keen about what are the emotions of your heart. What are your meditations? What are your thoughts? You know, and that is what will determine how far our prayer will go. An essence of prayer without body in the heart, we only yield little result. Why a prayer rendered with a heart full of body will definitely get God's audience. Hallelujah. Bodies of prayers are chiefly initiated by the Holy Ghost and can be generated when one has insight. So you can't manufacture body by yourself. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost is the one that initiates body, that puts weight on people to pray. Hallelujah. And we are looking at how does it work. You know, he said it can happen when one has an insight. You just know in your heart what the Lord's mind is and what Lord's expectation over a matter is, and you choose to identify with it. This insight can be received through the teaching of the word. It can be received through exhortation. Sometimes it can be received through supernatural encounters. And then it may be a dream that you have. Then just wake up with the body in your heart to pray. Then it could be a vision. And the end of it is that you pray. You know, and that is how the thing is generated. Sometimes the Spirit might bring an impression or an awareness to your heart about an issue. Sometimes it can make your heart just heavy up to a point that you can feel pain. Not because anything is wrong with you, but just that there is something you should attend to urgently. Hallelujah. You know, we can see that how the Spirit, you know, help us in our infirmities. Because, you know, not to have burdens and infirmity. Not to be able to connect with what God, hallelujah, connect with what God's mind is an infirmity. So Holy Ghost also comes to bridge that gap, you know, by pushing things in our heart so that we can burn effectively, you know, in the midst of prayer. At times, you may not even have a clue over a matter until it is raised by a prophecy or by, you know, the telling of a prayer leader or minister. So at times, you may not even know anything about Nigeria that's happening. You know, some of us are just like that. You don't even really, you are just there, you know, you are in the comfort of your house. But when somebody says something about it from here, you know, you should honor it and start considering the matter in your heart. Don't just feel, I don't know what they are talking about. Just look at it. You know, when you do that, Holy Ghost is watching you and then he lights it up. That is what he says. He says, at such a time, once you keep those words in the heart, ponder upon it, and while you are praying, at some time, you will see that an ignition will occur within you and the body will fully rest. You know, and we saw Mary keep things in the heart and pondering upon it. When bodies are placed in the heart, the best way to sustain it is to eat it quickly, because bodies also weighing. You know, when God places body and you are not yielding, the thing will lift. And that's dangerous, because a work that should be done will not be done. And you don't know the repercussion. Hallelujah. Just like when God puts in your heart to pray for somebody and you don't do it, you can hear the following day the person has died. And what has spoiled, you can't revive back again just by your simple heart of negligence. Hallelujah. In all, what fuels prayer is a love for God and his will. You must be a lover of a prayerful man is a lover of God's will. You know, you can be praying, I don't like God's will. You are not, so before God, you are not praying. When you say a man is prayerful, he's a man that is in love with God's will. He's in love with God. And then prayer is not first about what I want, it's about the counsel in the heart of the Father that must be bettered upon the head. As God's people, we must learn to be concerned and zealous about the will and desire of God, either for our individual lives, the company, the body of Christ, the nation, even the nations of the earth. If we have this posture, it wouldn't be difficult to connect the burdens of the Spirit in the place of prayer, because we are going to be going for a long stretch of prayer. Hallelujah. And we don't want to be coming here and be wasting time. We must be people that will come here, catch burden, and pray it out. Hallelujah. And this is how that will be done. We must trust God that His love will go deeper in our heart, so that His pain can be our pain. His desires can be our desire. His expectation can be our expectation. When we're like that, prayer becomes easy and effective. The Lord strengthen us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.